very seriously say, you're going to learn today. Okay, now with that said, with that said, we good over there? I want to make sure. We okay?
Yes.
Okay, everything's good in Monroe Corner?
Yes.
All right, perfect. So, here we are. I had two titles for this message. I'd like to give you a chance to pick. I know which one I like, but let's see. One is The Lord Directs. Two is The Power of Trust. See? Who said The Lord Directs? Not one. Power of Trust. Boom. Unanimous decisions. Votes have it. Power of Trust it is. Meeting adjourned. Now, Mike said you can't judge without knowing the content.
No, I said that's even without the content.
You know, that's just that works, okay. So let's talk about this. I was saying for years, trust in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. And I looked the scripture up today, because that was the thought that came to me. You know, you trust in the Lord, he gives you the desires of your heart. And then I looked it up again, and I said, wait a minute. Either I'm reading the wrong scripture, or I've read this wrong, or been quoting it wrong for a very long time. Because here's the difference in the statement. Ready?
Yes.
Delight yourself in the Lord. So I said to them, where did I get trust in the Lord? And I mean, I know there's a lot of trust in the Lord scripture, but how did I fuse those? It sounds like they almost work. But you know me, when I start doing my investigative reporting, I start to realize, no, dude, you can't say it's the same thing, because trusting in and delighting in is two different things. I can trust you and not delight in you. I can delight in you and not trust you. Like, I have a good time hanging out with you, but I won't let you hold my money. So there is a clear distinguishing difference between trusting and delighting. And so God, I began to say to God, okay, so then what is it that gets us the desires of our heart versus trusting in you? And how do the two work together? Turn with me to Psalms 37, if you don't mind.
Amen.
And let's talk about a few little things. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay, starting right at verse 1, it says, fret not thyself. That's King James talk. Fret not thyself. I mean, don't worry about. Don't trouble yourself because of evildoers. Neither be thou, or neither should you be envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and withered as the green herb. Now, he said, don't get yourself all up in a knot because you see evil people seeming to prosper, because they will soon be cut down. Now, young people may have a problem with this statement, but I've been around long enough to see some people that I consider very prosperous and untouchable and look like nothing they could do would go wrong for them. And it don't seem to me like they being judged. And then all of a sudden, as people say, all hell breaks loose. One little thing, one little news article, You know, a few people coming forward and saying some things, and next thing you know, your legacy and everything you represent is torn down. Now, I'm not here to judge anybody's doings because I'm not perfect myself. I can only say I haven't done some of the things that some of these people that we can talk about, from in the rap industry to the entertainment to acting to singing to dancing to Congress to political to whatever, have been pulled down. Sexting, I never heard of that. Into, you're going to laugh at me when I say this. It's just so funny that his last name. It's just, sometimes I think names have something to do with things, right? Now, let me just say, some of you don't know what I'm talking about. That's okay. Here's what I'm going to say. Not only did maybe we, but they thought, us, thought that they were irreproachable. They thought that they were invincible. They really begin to believe that because so much time had passed and there was no call to judgment, that the call to judgment did not exist. Can I have an adult conversation? Amen. So we begin to believe, even ourselves, let's not talk about them, let's bring it back to us. We can begin to believe, if we're not careful, that there is no such thing as judgment. We can begin to believe that we can live sinfully with impunity. Am I saying something right here? But sooner or later, not God's going to get you. That's not the message, because I don't believe in that at all. It's the wages. You work on your job, you put your time in, and at the end of the year, whatever, you go file your tax return, you expect to get your return because it's supposed to get this much according to the law. It shows I should have that, and they only give you this, and you go, I put it a whole week, I did 40 hours, you pay me this much an hour, and I calculated with this minus the taxes, I'm supposed to have this, and my paycheck is short. You need to get your book straight, you need to check your stuff out, because you need to give me my money. I worked for it. These are my wages. I earned them. What we don't pay attention to is the fact that the other things we do earn wages. And it may not be every week or 2 weeks. It may not even be 2 years. But there are wages. And when the person comes to collect, be it for good or bad, those wages are due. Just trying to help out a little bit. That goes for me too. That's why I check myself quick. Amen. Listen, I say, God, I may be struggling with this today, but it ain't my plan to be struggling with this tomorrow. Amen. Because I don't want the wages. I don't know if you understand. I've seen the wages of the good. And I've seen the wages of the bad. And I like the good wages. So I really try to steer clear from collecting or accumulating any past due wages in the area of sin and negativity. This is not a message about beating you up about sin, but I can't present to you victory. It'd be nice to step in and just say, you know, the Lord wants you to prosper. He wants you to have good. He wants everything in your life to work. Everything you put your hand to, in the field, in the city, you know. Yeah, but there's things that mess that up. There are things that get in the way of God blessing you like he want to. Okay? And what I want to do is say, listen, I've learned to experience that those God's desire is to always bless. That's what he does. But sometimes your wages get in the way. Sometimes what you keep earning keeps vetoing out. If you know anything about accounting, you have credits and debits. And God keeps crediting and you keep debiting. And then when your check comes, it's zero balance because of our activities. State of heart is first. Let's not focus on the action, but let's focus on the heart that brings us to the action. So he says, don't fret yourself over evildoers. Neither be envious. Don't be jealous of them, those who work iniquity, because they will be cut down soon like grass, and they will wither away like the herb. We already covered the people. We've seen it. Now let's go on. Verse 3, trust in the Lord. I love this. Stop right there. That's the church people. I trust the Lord. Whew. I trust me some Jesus. Hey, I should. Right? Okay. And do good. See? Ooh. Okay. Oh. So I prove my trust in the Lord by my doing. Not I do good to prove I trust in the Lord. Make sure we get this clear. Because I trust in the Lord, my function is to do good. Because I trust in my employer, I show up for work. That's why you do. You don't love him. He don't probably love you. But you trust in that pay system that when you show up on payday, you get paid. So you do your job. You might not even love your job, but you do your job. But he's saying, in the Lord, when you trust in him, you do good because you trust in him. I missed people. I know I did. I just went right over your head. I know I did. So I'm going to make it simpler. I do good. I'm not throwing out the fact because I love the Lord. I'm granted, how many of you love the Lord? And if loving the Lord is wrong, I don't want to be right. Now, I trust in the Lord. I love the Lord. But watch this. As I said earlier, there's people I love that I don't trust. Love them, I don't trust them. I love the Lord, but that's not what we're talking about right today. That's not the point. So I don't want people thinking, so he's just saying all you got to do is trust and you just, no, because I know you're smart, but some people watching the internet are kind of dumb. So I want to make sure that they don't misconstrue what I'm saying and twist my words. So here's what I'm saying. Some people on the internet are dumb. Come on, let's come on. You can see what's on there. I'm not insulting you. You know I'm telling the truth. All right, and if you're dumb, you know who you are. Okay, so here's the point. Here's the point. We're not talking about loving the Lord. I'm taking it for granted that everybody here and everybody listening loves the Lord. We're talking about trust now. Trust is a different issue. Trust is a different issue, and it's earned differently than love is earned. You're with me now? Those are two different earns. How many of you love me? How many of you trust me? Sherry don't trust me. She took too long. She thought about it. Okay. She went, he's looking at me. Let me raise my hand. Nah, I know you do. Okay, but watch this. The love I've earned and the trust I've earned didn't all come in the same package, did it? Right? I had to prove myself worthy of your trust. How? Okay, she said good works. Okay, I like that. What else we got? Actions, I like that. What else? I mean, none of those are wrong. I'm just seeing if how many adjectives, nice things I can get said about me. No. Consistent, keep it real. Okay, I like that. Okay.
Interactions, meaning?
Like how I see you treat other people.
How you treat people. See, I didn't even look at that. That's a good point, right? So you learning to trust me, not just how I treat you, but watching how I am, that I'm it's consistent with other people. I like this. These are good points. My record. He said your record. Now, here's what I'm saying. So you've seen me be true to my word, and to use your thing and your thing, and consistently, not just with you, but across the board. No respect of persons. Sound a little more like Jesus, I am. Hallelujah. Now, well, he said we're supposed to be like him. We're his image. So I'm supposed to be in his image. The works that he do, I'm supposed to do. So if you're describing me more like the Lord, then hallelujah, I'm doing something right. Hallelujah. Now, with that said, and this is powerful, you had to give me the opportunity, though, to be trusted by you. If you had decided not to trust me, there was nothing I could do to earn your trust, even with all the record and situation that you've described just now. Stay with me, because where I'm going is powerful. God needs the opportunity to be trusted. God needs the opportunity to be trusted. You don't just trust God. I don't care what you say, you don't just trust God. You got to allow yourself to, I'm not saying to be in the situation, but say you find yourself in a situation and you got to allow yourself to say, God, I'm going to trust you here. Watch this. And take a chance that you might let me down. How else are you going to build the trust? How you say, God, you know, I'm going to trust you, but in case you don't come through, I'm going to call my ex because he's going to show up. Oh, come on now. I'm just trying to, you say I keep it real, so I'm trying to stay true to your word there. I'm trying to honor that. All right. Now, so you had to find yourself or put yourself in a situation where God could show he's trustworthy. Watch this. Ready? Ready? More than once. More than once. I didn't do one thing and you decided to trust me. It was several things. Watch this. And then to go with what you said and with everybody. Nah, see, that's where church people just checked out. They just clicked stop on the button because God is good sometimes to some people, and he treat some people better than he treat others, and most of us has been taught to believe that, even though the Bible says he's no respecter of person. So if I'm in a church full of suffering and broke people, and God got to put you through some time, it's on, you never know when God's going to show up. And I look at the majority of the church and see that that's the majority of the church, then it's very hard for me to trust God because his record's not consistent. That's why it's an atrocity for people to stand up and preach that message. Because God is consistent. Listen to me. I get excited when you share your story, when you come and tell me how God has changed your life. I feel excited because it proves to me what I know and what I trust. He's consistent. That's where trust comes from. God is consistent. He's consistent. So he's proven himself worthy of my trust because I've allowed him to. Did you learn something so far? So, trust in the Lord and do good. Well, I can trust in the Lord and do good because his record shows that he's trustworthy. And his record shows that he's trustworthy because I've allowed him the opportunity to create a record. Listen, I could drop the mic right there. That's a go-home right there line. How often do we not allow God to show his trustworthiness? Are we doing good? So, trust in the Lord and do good, and so shall you dwell in the land, and verily you shall dwell in the land. Now, and be fed. Now, I want you to look at this. We already established trust is something that you got to give somebody opportunity so you can establish a trust with them. And then he said, and do good. And I want you to pay attention to this and why I'm making a big deal about the statement. And so shall you dwell in the land, and verily you shall be fed. So he's saying, not you might. He's saying, if you trust in me and do right with the expectation to dwell in the land and be fed, you shall be. I don't know if you caught that again. Try it again. I trust the Lord because I've given him the opportunity to prove himself. And the reason I've given him the opportunity to prove himself is because it says, if I do good, I should dwell in the land. So I'm doing good based on the fact that I trust him to keep this word, that I shall dwell in the land and be fed. Am I still losing you? If anybody needs me to explain a little bit more, just do that. I'll do it for you three. I say to you, take my word for this. If you do such and such and such at the end of the month, I'm going to hook you up. I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to make sure all your things are taken care of. You're going to be good. If you don't trust me, you're going to do that with a half a heart. I may try it a couple of days, but, you know, and work could be a little flaky at times. Let's see. I saw that he ain't paid such and such when he said he would. I saw this person been believing for years and it ain't happened for them. Come on now. These are all the factors that come into real people every day. Satan will show up and say, has God really said? Did he really say he was going to do that? You got that in writing, though? So you better make sure you have contract. See, that's the new thing. You got to make sure you have contract. Right. Well, contract don't make a rotten person not be rotten. It just gives you grounds to take them to court if they not right. And then you got to convince the judge and hope the judges isn't as rotten as they are, that you could, so you can still try to get your money, and then they award you the victory, and then you still got to try to sue them to get the money because you just won the case. But that don't mean they're going to give you. I know how it looks on people's court, but a lot of people leave there and they still don't get their money. You got to pursue that money. And sometimes it costs you more money to pursue that money than it is. I got my legal expert here up in the house. I got two of y'all. Am I right? People lose, win cases all the time and don't get that money, right? Sometimes it costs you more to get a lawyer to try to get the money than it is worth to get the money. So what, you won $1,500 on Judge Wapner or Judge Mathis or whoever. Now you got to collect that $1,500, and it costs more than $1,500 to collect that $1,500. You just get the satisfaction of being on TV and showing that the person was wrong and you was right. Trust. So contracts mean nothing. Back in the day, people shook hands. And these people were bound to do good by the word of God. And so they paid you and did you right because they feared the repercussion of not living in the land and being fed. Got it? There's in the difference between honor and legalities. Now, so here's what he's saying. Trust me and do right for the benefit of being provided for. Got it now? Trust me and do right for the benefit of being provided for. If you just got here, we're at Psalms 37. We're at verse 4. No, verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do right, so shall you dwell in the land, and surely you will be fed. Ready? Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Now, this is what I've been saying wrong for years. Trust in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. And the Lord said, not true, not true. And this is where he corrected me this week. He said, I said, delight in me for the desires. Trust in me and do good for provision. Okay? Come on now. So I'm saying the desires of my heart come from me trusting in God. He said, no. Provision comes from trusting me. Desires come from delighting in me. Now we have a structure.
Amen. Amen.
I'm going to delight in you without trust doesn't work. You can delight in people, like I said, not trust them. I like you. I have fun with you. I wouldn't loan you a dollar, but... But me and you, you're my man. We hang out. You follow what I'm saying? So God says, no, here's the balance. Do good. Learn to trust. I provide for you. Watch this. Maybe you should say this with me.
I wish
to develop a habit
and
an expectation from trusting God. Some of you may be there, some of you may not be. So let's just do a little vote. Let's see where we at. How many of y'all could say, I've stepped out and trusted God in some things and he's come through? How many of you could say, I've trusted God and it just never worked for me? Never worked? So I trusted God and he just didn't come through at all, ever. Okay, no, you're taking those hands back down. Okay, maybe I phrased it wrong. So let's try it again. How many of you have trusted God in things and God has come through somewhere, area, or another in your life and you've seen it and you know it? Okay. How many of you say, I've trusted God in some things and it didn't happen, so then I begin to question God? Be honest. Now, wait a minute. The same people say, I trusted God and things happen. And then you trusted them again, it didn't happen, and you questioned them. Are you hearing the balance here? Are you getting the point? So hold up. Either you trust them or you don't. Because if it worked sometime, shouldn't it work all the time? If trust is the real thing that we're talking about here, giving him the opportunity to build your trust or gain your trust, that's how God, those who just came in, that's how we develop trust in God. We have to give him the opportunity to prove he's trustworthy. So if in some things he came through and other things he did not, there's something missing between this line here. One, did you really trust or did you try? And it worked. You're like, oh my God, I'm just so shocked. I can't believe God came through. Oh, glory to God. This is so amazing. I got to come and stand in front of the church and tell everybody. Why? Because you as shocked as you didn't even expect God to do that. He just threw you a freebie and you were so blown away. You can't believe it happened. You don't think it ever going to happen again. Am I speaking to somebody? Don't have to raise your hand, but you know what I'm talking about. Just smirk a little bit. I know you. Now, if you trust him, you expect that to be a constant. No, God knows what my needs are, and he can count, and so I trust. It didn't happen yet. I still trust. Why? Because his track record in my life is consistent. Got it? Now, we get to the delight part. Because now that I trust in you, I don't have a problem delighting. I've seen your track record is consistent. I see you are who you says you is. And you do what you say you do. So I can delight in you. Watch this. For all direction.
I know I would miss you. I do this stuff on purpose. Trust in the Lord and do good, and he will bring you into the land, and you shall be provided for. Now I delight in doing good, in doing that which brings me into the land, and now you fill my heart with desires. You give me desires. Catch what I'm saying? Because here's what people read that to say. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you whatever your flesh wants. And that's not what it says. It says he'll give you the desires of your heart. And people take that, yeah, that means what your heart desires. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Am I still losing people? You caught it? No? Okay. How many of you say, God, if I just had this one thing right here, I'd never ask you for nothing again? And God answered that prayer. And then you still ask him for something again. Because it really was, that was the desire of your flesh, or what you call your heart's desire. As I trust in the Lord and delight in him, he's putting desires in me. He's giving me the desires of my heart. He's saying, only this will fulfill you and make you really happy. Don't go chase after her. She ain't no good for you. This is where your heart needs to be.
No. We don't seem like...
Okay. I'm giving you the desire of your heart. You want to go after what your flesh desires, knock yourself out. But I'm giving you the things you should be desiring. I'll give you the desires of your heart. Has God ever put a desire on you or told you to do something? You're like, oh, no. And then you just say, I'm so glad I listened to Jesus. It was just the best thing I could have ever done. Right? See, the desires of your heart. But that comes from delighting in him, taking pleasure in his concepts and his ideas and saying, God, you know what? I'm going to tell you, I'm going to bring this up because this is so exciting for me as a dad. I love this. My son goes through the thing that all sons go through where, look, they know better than you, and you, that's your opinion. And, you know, all your kids, when they start to get a little older and start to smell themselves, they go to, yeah, I know, that's your opinion. I respect what you're saying, but, you know, and then here comes the, yeah, whatever, right? So I'm watching my son now, first as a dad, and how that begin to change him. Okay, I understand. I get it now. I get it. What do you mean? How you could be overprotective or what I consider overprotective. I just want to protect my son. I don't want nothing, no harm, no right, just right. I want to just guide his every thought and decision. Okay, good. So you got that. So just that appreciation. Well, my son was with me months ago as he got his new position and he's in finance now, and I gave him some ties. I gave him a couple of ties I thought were nice power. Ties and here, you know, try to. I don't know about that. It's a good tie. Yeah. He took it. So he sent me a picture the other day. He had it on. He was going to work. Said, I'm wearing your tie. And I text him, that's your tie now. So he gets to work, and everybody in the place is complimenting this tie. And he said to me in text, I had to reprimand myself for questioning your taste. Those are his words, not mine. He said, I had to reprimand myself for questioning your taste. Any other ties you have that you want to share, please send them my way. Now, I'm watching this because it's in phases and phases how he's coming to me and saying, how do you do this, Dad? How did you figure this out? I just want to know everything you know. And he says that to me a lot. Like, I just want to know everything you know. I just want to know it. What an honor that that's to me as a father. And so when God led me back to this delight yourself, trust and delight, my son trusts me. He always delight in my opinions. He don't want me giving him desires of his heart. He just want, listen, just let me trust you and just give me what I want, please, and don't question me. Let me do what I'm, and I have to say, son, nah, I can't.
No. I can't go with you on that one. You're on your own with that one. I'm going to love you and got your back, but you're on your own on that. Are you hearing me now? God is saying, I love you. You're my baby. But on that choice right there, I can't back you on it. I can't give you my blessing on that. So that one you rose your hand for, I questioned God because it didn't work. It didn't work because you didn't let him give you the desires of your heart. You weren't after what your flesh desired. I'm not saying it's sin or evil. I'm just saying it was your thing. God said, hey, you might even get it. And then you get that car home, and one problem after another, my God, why'd you let me buy this car? I let you do nothing. You did what you wanted to do. You're free. You got a free will. I'm not going to stop you. You follow what I'm saying? So he said, delight in me. Trust me. And I'm going to take care of you. Do good. Do that which you know is right. I'm going to take care of you. But now the desires of your heart come from delighting in my choices. We'll all say, after something goes right, you know, God knows what's best. But when it doesn't, God doesn't know? We don't want to take that one. Like, that was me. That was me. That was just straight me. That was all me. I wasn't listening to God at all, and God was guiding me. So let's wrap this up for the day. It's a good place to go. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, I want to bring this back around to side B, because there's two sides to this record. Those of you who ain't old enough to know what records are, you just know CDs. But there was once upon a time you could flip a record over, and there was a song on the opposite side. So it was like side A, and then you flipped it over and played side B. See, so I have to make sure I explain this to your young folk, because another funny story, I remember my son, when he was a kid, went under the staircase and found my album collection. And he brought this album up to me, and he pulled it out the case, and he's looking at this thing, and he said, what's the thing you put this in to play it? He was like saying, okay, it's how do you... How big was the thing you had to put this in? Like a player, right? Because he knew CDs. He didn't see the record before. And I said, no, son. You put this on the turntable, and I went and pulled out my turntable, and you put it on like this, and I put the needle on it, and the record started playing. He went, oh. So when you want to skip to the next record, what do? So you got to take it with your thumb, and you got to have a very steady hand, and you got to drop it down. And you might catch the end of the record before it. And then, but this is a process. I digress, I know. But stay with me. The other side of this coin is this. There are desires in your heart that are just already there, that God has put in you. They've been there probably since your birth, right? So even though you didn't trust in the Lord, those desires already exist. So we're talking about two different things. Are you with me here? What I'm about to say is cool. It's so cool. It's really cool. It's powerful, but it's cool. So there's that place you trust in the Lord where he keeps feeding your desires to, and you get it, and you understand it, and you go, and you do it, and you win, and you have victory after victory after victory, right? And then there's those desires that were just born in you. How many of you know what I'm talking about when I say those desires that were just born in you? Come on, let me see. How many of you say, no, there's been things that's been in me my whole life. I just can't shake them, right? Now, they haven't worked for me. I've never been able to succeed in them. But they're born in me. Some of y'all can relate to that too, right? Yeah. Knowing all my heart that, yeah, but just today, I just went and got a job because I just got tired. All my family told me I was dreaming and wasting time. And you know what? I just went and got me a good job. And I told my kids the same thing. You know, it's good to have all them dreams and stuff, but you need to have something to fall back on. This is where all that comes from. It comes from discouragement. Come on now. Yes, disgust and discouragement. That's not wisdom of God talking. That's frustration in life and other people talking over your vision. And because you haven't figured out why yours isn't working, theirs sounded more logical, so you went with that. Am I alone here? You're looking at me like, okay, so we're on the same page. Okay, so I'm going to explain to you what that issue is, because now you're saying, okay, what the Bible got to say about that then? Okay, yeah, mm-hmm. So what the Bible say about that, right? You want to know? Who want to know? Just a few of y'all? Who wants to know? Okay, here we go. So it says, trust in the Lord and do good. I won't go over all that again. We covered that. So shall you dwell in the land, and verily you will be fed. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart, or he will fill your heart with the desires. Ready? Commit your way to the Lord, back to trust him also, and he, who? Who's he? God will what? Who what? It says, bring it to pass in the King James. So let's break this down now. Let's walk through the steps. Are you learning something?
Yes.
Are you learning something?
Yes.
So the trust in the Lord is to be provided for. Trust in the Lord and do good, and so you will dwell in the land and you will be fed. He'll provide. Now delight yourself in him, and he will give you the desires of your heart. He will train your heart to desire those things which are needful for you or beneficial for you or for the best of your life. Now, listen to me. They're yours now. Whatever the Lord want for me. The Lord ain't picking out your sneakers and shoes. I hate when people, but the Lord showed me my shoes. The Lord wouldn't wear them ugly things. Just don't put down the Lord. That's your taste. Okay? Nothing wrong with that. That's your desires. He gave them to you. Are you listening close? At that point, you are free to do with them whatever you want. You don't have to tithe. It don't work out so good when you don't, but you don't have to. God ain't never came up and raided your bank account. God ain't never stopped you and checked you at the door and pulled your card out and made you write the check. Right? Free will. So he gave you that desire now. He gave you that gift. He gave you that talent. He gave you that ability. It's yours to do what you want to do with it. And you can talk to this person in this connection to see if you could get hooked up and help them help you bring it to pass. But just like that person you prayed for and you got them, or that car you prayed for, you got them, and once you got it, you prayed that you'd never get it again. Same thing with your gifts and talents. So what's the key now? You trusted God. Let's go back to the top. You trusted God. You did good. He provided for you. How many of you can say amen to that?
Amen.
You know that's right, right? He makes sure, I don't know how every month, but how we make it, but we make it. God provides. You're doing your best to do good and trust God, and God is making a way, right? Now you're delighting in him, and he's giving you desires. But then he's requiring something of you. Now give them back to me. Commit them to me, and I will bring them to pass. Got it? We're trying to bring it to pass on our terms and tell God, okay, God, hello, if you make this connection right here, or if you could just get me this job. And God's like, okay, so you're doing it or me? Oh, so you're doing it. Okay, well, when you're done, give me a call. I know God wants me to do it. I don't understand why it's not working. I'm doing everything I know to do. I know, God, you put it in my heart. You never prayed these prayers?
Yeah.
I know you put it in my heart, God. I just don't understand why it's not working. You didn't give it back to me. I gave it to you. Maybe I'm missing y'all. Am I missing people? Let me bring it home. Who gave you life? Did he not ask for it back? It's a free will to give your life to God. He don't come and make you go to church. You know what I'm saying? You go or you don't. Free will. He wants it as your love offering to him. So when he gave you these gifts and desires and talents and dreams and visions, he's saying, bring them back to the manufacturer. I know how they work. You get that? Bring them back to me. I gave them to you. They're yours to do what you want. You can go give them to the devil, and you can figure out how with the devil to make it work. You can figure it out in your flesh with your friends and connections, or you can bring them back to me. And I'll show you how to work them. I know how they work. I made them. I put them in you. I know how they work effectively. So you got gifts and talents, and you're struggling with them. Why? Because the master's hand is not on them. I have people, I bring up my daughter all the time. She said, Daddy, I might not be doing everything right, but I don't mess with my tithe because my money stopped messing up. I make sure my tithe is in. And she knows, she'll swear by that. Like, listen, I don't play with that. And needs are always met. I don't know how you pull off the financial things you pull off. I do know how, but you know what I'm talking about. But that area is committed. Don't nobody play with that. Listen, God, I ain't ready to give you all this yet, but I ain't playing with my money. You follow what I'm saying? Now, I've said so many times, man, imagine if you just gave all your stuff to God like that. With the way you trust him right there and do good in that area and delight in him and you don't play with that. Imagine if you could just take it all and just toss it all up in there like that, what that would do. Because that's how it works. Everything God gives you is a gift. But when you give it back to him, it becomes his responsibility. If you steal a tithe, he says, you're cursed with a curse. Or your money is broken. Why? Your financial flow. People come here and say, you know, Pastor, I'm struggling. You tithing? Well, I give. Okay, conversation over. We already know what the issue is. I was wondering if the church could help me. I'm not, we are aiding and abetting a thief. No. We at church, if you won't even tithe on that, you're a crook. We know who you is. You understand? These principles work. They work. You give and it should be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. That's biblical principle. But you got to trust. And you got to be in a place where you trust. This ain't about an offering. You know, you already know it. I ain't got to convince you. You know how I'm living. My point of view is this. God is saying more than your offering. You know the scripture that I prefer obedience over sacrifice? He said more than your offering and tithes, more than your physical gifts, give me back the heart I gave you. Give me back the dreams I gave you. Give me back the spirit I gave you. Give me back the very breaths I gave you and let me do it. And it says, and he will do it. He's not even asking you to do it. Just give it back. You got this? So trust in him. Let's wrap it up. Let's surmise. I've already surmised 15 times already, but let's surmise one more time. Delight yourself in the Lord. He will put desires. He will give you the desires of your heart. He will give you the things to desire. He will lead your desires. Some of them you already have in you from birth. Commit your way, how you do it. Commit them back. I know what I do, but my way is where I get stuck. Am I correct? You know what your talents are. It's the way you're going to do it. That's the problem, right? He said, commit the way to me, and he will bring them to pass. Then it says this. Ready? Let's bring it home. So we trust. We did good. We delighted. We committed. You got those four? Ready? Last one. Rest. Come on now. Trust. Do good, delight, commit. He will bring it to pass. Now rest and wait patiently for him. That goes back to trust, doesn't it? Doesn't it go back to the trust? Doesn't it bring the trust game right back? Because if you know his word is true, I'll wait. I'm patient. I see everybody getting deals and getting contracts and getting these things before me. I'm gonna wait. I had the job of my dreams. Never made that much money before on computers. And being there about six to eight months, God said, quit. Quit? 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 I just got a new car. And then I tried to throw scripture at God. You ever did that? Lord, your word said the man I support his family is worse than the infidel. I need to have this job. God said, you can try to play that with me if you want, but I just told you what to do. And I reluctantly quit. Ooh, I quit it with. It was no faith or nothing in it. I just quit. I quit pouting. God says, so you don't trust me at all in this. And you know what I said to God? I ain't got no choice now. And God said, we need a different heart here. We need you to delight yourself, because right now you're in a real stinky place. So I said, okay, I'm going to delight in you. What do you want me to do? Rest now. Trust and believe. I got a call from one of the workers about a month and a half later. They showed up for work and padlocks were on the door. They didn't get their final paychecks. Company was gone. And they had probably like a month of pay that they didn't get, and nobody could find them. I said, well, I got all my money when I left on time, like God told me to. You understand what I'm saying? I walked out of there with a surplus. They gave me 2 weeks of advance pay. I walked out of there with money, and they shut the place down, and God said, commit it to me, and I will bring it to pass, and then rest. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself of him who is prospering in his way, because the men that bring about wicked devices to pass, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Don't look at people that like they're being successful doing wicked stuff. As we said at the beginning of the message, we named a lot of people without naming them that we thought could never be brought down, have been brought down to nothing in a matter of a month. One news report, that's all it takes. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Don't think about maybe it may be better if I was doing this. You hearing me? For evildoers should be cut off, but those who wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. Now, you mean when we die, right, and we come back? No. Right here, right now. I gave you enough to chew on for the day. I think the message was good. It blessed me. Here's what I'm saying. You got the steps now. Next week I may ask you to walk through them with me, but if you're smart, you will practice them. What's the first one? Trust. Next one? Do right. Do good. Do what you know is right. And instead be perfect, just say do good. Next one? Delight yourself in the Lord. Next one? Commit your ways to him. What's the next one? Rest in him. Don't panic and get upset and worry about other people that seem to be succeeding. I'm trying to make it, and they look like they're doing okay, and I'm trusting the Lord, and it just doesn't look like it's happening for me. God said, you need to stop all of that. You need to stop. He said, stop that. Just stop doing that. Stop putting yourself through changes about what looks like somebody else's success. Just stop doing it. He said, focus on me, trust me, just rest. God, I've done what I know to do. You want to know how many times that has saved my life? God, I've done what I know to do. I don't know what else to do. I'm just going to trust you. Man, how that works. Has anybody ever tried that? Have you tried that? Has anybody tried that and seen that work? Yes, wave a hand at me or something. Let me know. You've seen it work? Then why not you work it all the time? Then God's like, he switched up now. He ain't working with trust no more. No, it's the same. It works all the time. I don't know. It just took so long, and the landlord told me I got to be out by the end of the week. If the landlord told you got to be out by the end of the week and God don't move, then be out by the end of the week. Maybe he's not supposed to keep trying to stay there. See, people don't like when you have them conversations. I'll give you one more story just so we could bring it home. How many of you remember 914 Prospect Avenue? We tried everything to stay there, even to go into court. And this building was sitting here waiting for us the whole time. We fighting a man to stay in a place that's trying to screw us over and charge us 5 times what the building's worth. We trying to fight God, change his mind. The hand of the king is in the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. God said, I didn't say he was no king. Who made him a king? Your landlord's a king now? He said, that man ain't no king. God said, you need to let this building go. But we set up, we paint it, we put the carpet the way we want it, we put the chairs up, we put the ACs in, we built a whole kitchen area downstairs, we even installed another bathroom and a shower and a whole this. We turned this into our little sanctuary, and God said, you need to let it go. You need to let it go. You need to let it go. Like, you need to let it go. I was so upset with God, I had no choice. It was go to court and fight the man. And even the lawyer said you could fight him, but at the end of the day, it's his building. You can't tell him what to do. But he told us he was going to sell it to us, and then he jerked us around until our lease was up, and then he tried to up the price, and then, God, you need to let it go. Well, I'm taking all our stuff out. God's like, you don't need none of that stuff. We just put this whole new kitchen, and we taking our stuff. I was like, all right then, take your stuff. Make you happy, take your stuff. We bought all those cabinets and countertops and stuff here and put it all in storage, just paying monthly all that money to have them in an extra big room. And God brings us here and everything is already in. So we wind up giving the cabinets to your old church. Right? It's like, you know, God's like, see, we still got a shower sitting downstairs that just has, it's just being used for storage. We have no need for it. But nah, they ain't taking our stuff. God said, just leave the stuff and just go. I feel so embarrassed now when I look back, like, I should have just left the stuff. I probably would have got this building for free if I would have just listened to you. Here's my point. God is so ahead of your dream. He gave it to you. He has the plan. I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and bring it to pass and a future. God said, I got a plan for you. But the problem is I gave it to you and trusted you with it, and then you won't give it back. The problem is I gave it to you and you won't give it back. The problem, I gave it to you and I said, I will do it if you commit it, and you still won't let me do it. You still trying to do it for me. It was so quiet up in this piece. Thank you very much for your time. It's been a pleasure. May the word that you heard bring God's blessing to you.